Excited to wrap up our series on something new for Christmas as we get ready to celebrate Christmas tomorrow with our families and loved ones. We've been talking through this series that Jesus is a gift to all humanity. And as a gift, he is something new for humanity in a couple different ways. He is new in the sense that humanity never saw anyone like him before or since. He is God in the flesh, God in a bod, so to speak. And that's who Jesus is, and no one else is like that. And so he's something brand new for humanity, but he's also something new in the sense that he's an improvement over or a fulfillment of some people who came before him. So when we look at leaders from the people of God from the Old Testament and how they led in some really positive ways, but they also kind of fell short or didn't complete their mission, Jesus comes along and he completes or fulfills the missions that were started by these people from long ago. And so we talked about Jesus as the new Adam, the new Moses, and the new David. And today we're going to wrap up with Jesus as the new Elisha. So as we do that, we're going to have to talk about miracles for a minute, because Elisha's ministry was largely just performing miracles. If you haven't read about Elisha, did I say Elijah? So this is the confusing part. There's two different guys, Elijah and Elisha, and they knew each other. So Elijah came first, then Elisha. It's alphabetical, if that helps, but it can be confusing. So I'll try to say the right name, but I might mess it up. Elisha was mostly a miracle guy, and so we've got to talk for a minute about miracles. I think most of us here can agree that there is a supernatural reality, right? There's something beyond just the physical world. If we think about it in terms of a box, we've got our box here, and we've got the world inside the box, and so just imagine, I know some of you, my son, is going to be like, the whole universe, really, Dad? Okay, the universe is inside the box, and God created the universe, right? So everything that is because God made it. That's where we sort of start as Christians. We believe that God created all that there is. So God is not in the box with the created world. He's outside the box, right? And so a miracle is whenever the supernatural, what's not natural and inside the box, interacts with what's in the box. So when God interacts in the natural world, doing things that are not sort of following the laws of the natural world, that we call that a miracle, right? And so we get excited about different things that we use the word miracle sort of loosely sometimes. You go to the grocery store and it's packed, and you're driving up and there's a spot right up front, and you go, it's a miracle. Praise God, right? And so we use that word kind of lightly, but we also acknowledge that our faith is based on at least one miracle. There's at least one miracle you got to buy into if you're going to be a Jesus follower, and that is that Jesus rose from the dead. That's a pretty big one, right? And so we've got to start there. Does God, who is outside the box, created everything in the box, does he interact with the things inside the box? And if he does, why does he do it? When he does it? For whom he does it? This is something we would all like to know the answers to. My guess is pretty much everybody in here has prayed for a miracle at some point, for someone to be healed, for some wrong to be righted, for some provision to show up when we're desperate in need. And my guess is that some of you have had those prayers answered, and some of you have had those prayers unanswered. And so we wonder, if God really does interact with the physical world, like, what is the system? What is the strategy? How does he decide when and where and how and for whom? I hope you don't think I'm about to answer all of that, because I don't know the answers to a lot of that. But we're going to dive into this and look at the ministry of Elisha, who was a miracle guy, and see how this connects us to Jesus. It creates this longing for Jesus is what it does. The people of Israel remember these stories. We got to remember that when Jesus comes along, everyone in his culture grew up with these stories of Elisha the miracle worker. And so they know these stories inside and out. And when Jesus comes along, it's really easy for them to make the connections. And so we'll track along with them. First off, Elisha was a prophet. And we know the word prophet. There's a lot of prophets in the Bible and people who wrote books of prophecy. We think of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel maybe as some of the big ones. Well, those guys did a lot of talking and writing. And so we know a lot about what God was saying through them. That's what prophet really means, is a spokesperson for someone else. So a prophet is somebody that speaks on behalf of another person. And so we know a lot about some of those guys. Elisha didn't do a lot of speaking that we know of. We don't have any recorded sermons or messages that he gave. We don't have anything that he wrote down. His ministry was mainly miracles, but the miracles that he performed spoke. They were a message in and of themselves. And so what we want to do is understand the message that's packed into the miracles of Elisha and how those same messages are in the miracles of Jesus as well. So first off, Elisha, as we said, followed Elijah. And Elijah was a great prophet before him. He did miracles himself. But when Elijah was getting ready to leave, which is all sort of mysterious the way that happened, you can look that up, but Elisha knew he was taking over for Elijah, and he asked him for a double portion of his spirit. He said, I want to be twice as spirit-filled as you. And Elijah said, all right, we'll see what we can do. And then when Elijah goes away in a chariot of fire, then Elisha receives a double portion of the spirit that enabled Elijah to do the things that he did, which we know of as the Spirit of God. So Elisha received double the Spirit of God that Elijah had. And it's interesting, when you track through their ministries, Elijah performed, we can identify 7 miracles that Elijah performed. Elisha comes along after him with a double portion of his spirit. Guess how many miracles are recorded from him? 14. Pretty cool. So this is where his power comes from. It's the Spirit of God, the same God that Elijah served. And he begins to do things that just... It's obvious that this is not stuff that happens in the box all by itself, but there's something from outside the box interacting with the world. And so in 2 Kings chapter 4, we read this story where there were 100 people. There was a famine going on in the land. There were 100 people that needed to be fed, and this guy shows up with 20 loaves of bread. And their loaves of bread weren't like our big loaves of bread that we have. They were small. It was about a single serving. That was a loaf of bread. And so somebody brings 20 loaves of bread for 100 people. And he says, I can't put this in front of 100 people. It's not going to go around. And Elisha says, go ahead and serve it. It'll be enough. And so they serve the 20 loaves of bread to 100 people. Everyone eats as much as they want, and they have leftovers. That's a miracle. That's something supernatural. That's something that's not possible inside the box, but is only possible when God interacts with the natural world. And it may remind you of something that Jesus did. There's another story. When a man is a very, very powerful, a general in a foreign army, gets leprosy, and he has a servant girl who tells him, there's a prophet in Israel who can help you. And he's desperate because this is going to ruin his life, this disease. And so he packs everything up. He goes to talk to Elisha, and he says, I've heard that you can help me. Elisha says, well, God can heal you. Go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And there's a little concern about that plan, but he ends up doing it, and he's healed, and he goes home well. A foreigner comes to Elisha and is healed from leprosy. And then we get to the raising of the dead. Elisha is going to raise someone from the dead. And I think sometimes, as you know, people familiar with a little bit the Bible, we kind of go, well, that sort of happened a lot in the Bible, didn't it? No, not really. There are 3 cases of people rising from the dead in the Old Testament. 3. One was performed by Elijah, and the other 2 are connected with Elisha. That's it. That's the only people who rose from the dead in the Old Testament. So Elijah raises somebody from the dead. Elisha is called to this home where this boy has died, this boy that was beloved by his family, and they waited a long time for him, and then he dies. And Elisha comes along and raises him from the dead. And then we get one of the craziest 2 verses, little section in the Bible. This is, you can't make this stuff. This is so crazy. Okay, so 2 Kings 13, 21. This is right after Elisha died. We get this. Once while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders, so they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. When the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. I can't hardly read that without cracking up. What? And that's it. That's the end of the story, by the way. It doesn't go on and say anything after that. It's just like, They threw a dead body into Elisha's tomb and it came to life. So good luck figuring that out. But there was something about Elisha that carried this resurrection power. Now, resurrecting things, people from the dead is not part of what's in the box. That we can't explain that. That doesn't happen just with the natural world. It's got to be the God who created the natural world interacting with the natural world. And so Elisha's ministry was performing these miracles, and these miracles were intended to speak something specific to the people. They were intended to speak to the people that God is present, God is powerful, and God is merciful. When Elisha shows up, amazing things happen, and the message is God is here, God is able to interact with this world, this physical reality in amazing ways, and he cares about you. Elisha's miracles are revolving around helping people. And whenever he shows up and does this, he's communicating this message. He doesn't do preaching. He doesn't write, you know, prophecies down. He does these miracles, and what people are supposed to understand from these miracles is God is with you, he is powerful, and he is merciful. He loves you. And so when Jesus comes along and we get a chance to see how Jesus is going to interact with people, people are going to see Jesus do things, and we're going to see some of this and recognize it ourselves, and they're going to think of Elisha. It's going to bring Elisha to mind. One of the first things is there's a prophecy about Elijah, Elisha's predecessor, from Malachi 4. Malachi wrote, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." So this was written hundreds of years after Elijah died, but hundreds of years before Jesus was born. So it's written in that time. Elijah's gone. But the prophet says, I'm going to send Elijah. God says, I'm going to send Elijah to prepare for the day of the Lord, for the Lord to come. And Jesus quotes that prophecy and says, this is John the Baptist. John the Baptist is Elijah. He's the one that the prophet spoke of, and he came to prepare the way. So just like Elisha follows Elijah, Jesus follows John the Baptist. And so we make that connection automatically. I like this little summary that this scholar named Gary Schultz Jr. wrote. He says, like Elisha, Jesus is an itinerant miracle worker bringing life, blessing, and judgment through the power of the Holy Spirit to a people who had forgotten God. And so there's the similarities in their ministries are pretty easy to see, but then once Jesus starts doing miracles, it just becomes glaringly obvious. Jesus is going to do miracles for the same reason that Elisha does miracles, which is to give this message that God is present, he is powerful, and he's merciful. He cares about people. So Jesus comes along, and we know the story of feeding the crowds. There are thousands of people gathered to hear Jesus speak, and they haven't eaten all day. And so Jesus tells his disciples, let's feed these folks. And they say, we got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus says, great, that'll do it. And so they start feeding the people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and they eat until everyone is satisfied and they have enough left over. And the people who are experiencing this miracle as it's happening, they've got to be remembering this, that Elisha did something very similar but on a much smaller scale. Jesus comes along and he does it like bigger and better in a dramatic way. And we know that Jesus also healed lepers. In fact, he even healed a leper who was a foreigner, a Samaritan leper, comes to Jesus and is healed. And people hear this story, they've got to be thinking about the time that Elisha the prophet healed a foreigner from leprosy. And then raising the dead. And I just, I love Jesus' heart here for people. So Jesus comes up on a funeral at one point in his journeys. This is an awkward experience, by the way. We were in Vienna visiting an old church a couple months ago, and I think it was in Vienna. And we walked in to this old church, me and our guide, and no one followed us. And I thought, where's the rest of our crowd? Where is everyone? And we get in there, and then the people start filing out, and at the head of the line of people coming out is a casket, and people are carrying a casket out. We had walked in on a funeral, And I didn't know. And so I'm backing into this, you know, ancient wall trying to disappear because I'm standing right there as people are filing out and they're looking at me like, what is this guy doing in here? He's not our family. He's not even dressed up. It was super awkward, okay? So Jesus comes up on a funeral and I probably was different, but I know the feeling. And what he recognizes is that there is a widow, a woman whose son has died. And everyone is really sad. And so, obviously. And so, Jesus walks up to the casket, the body, and he raises this young man to life. He brings him back to life. And here's how the people respond. When the people see this miracle, Jesus raising someone from the dead, here's how they respond. This is going to be on the screen. If it's underlined, I invite you to read that aloud. They were filled with awe and praised God. They said, God has come to help his people. I love that response. I love that that's recorded, is that this is how people responded to Jesus raising someone from the dead. A great prophet is among us because we remember Elijah and Elisha as great prophets, and both of them raised someone from the dead. And so a great prophet is among us, and God has come to help his people. God is present. God is powerful, and God is merciful. God is willing to interact with the natural world in ways that help people. And so then we get to Jesus' birth, and this is the miracle that we celebrate, is the virgin birth of Jesus. And Matthew 1, the angel is talking to Joseph, who's going to be the earthly father of Jesus, and trying to convince him that everything is going to be okay. This is a good thing, and it's going to be for all people. And so here's what the angel says to Joseph. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. God with us. This is the miracle of Jesus' birth comes with a message. And the message is, God is with you. God is present. God is powerful. And God cares about you. God is present. God is powerful. And God cares about you. That's the purpose of miracles. In fact, John records this pretty specifically when he's wrapping up his gospel. John writes a biography of Jesus' life. And towards the end, he writes this. John 20:30. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John says, I could have filled many books with stories about the things that Jesus did, but I chose these specifically so that you would know that Jesus is the Son of God. And John records the feeding of the 5,000. John records Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And John says, these messages, these miracles are messages that speak to you that God is present, God is powerful, and God is merciful. And miracles still speak. This is a question that we need to wrestle with today. Do you believe that God continually interacts with the natural world? He hasn't stopped doing this. He steps in and he does things that don't follow the laws of nature. And these miracles still speak. And if we can learn to recognize them and see these miracles when they happen, we're going to see God at work, and our confidence in his presence and power and mercy is going to increase. It's going to grow. So the question, as we get ready to celebrate a big miracle, the virgin birth of Jesus, is do we believe that God is still present and powerful and merciful, and that he shows up and does miracles? No. I appreciate the honesty, really. Like, it's that's real. Some of you are thinking the same thing and just didn't say it. Here's the reality. I believe that most, if not all of you, have witnessed a miracle at some point. Whether you recognize it as such or not, I don't know. I could tell stories of people who have been healed in ways that doctors can't explain. I met a young man just this week who was in a terrible car crash in April of this year. He had 75 distinct injuries. The doctors told him that any three of those together should have killed him. He did lose his right leg, but otherwise he's healthy and joyful is the amazing thing, because his interpretation of the fact that he's still alive is that it's a miracle and that God preserved his life for a reason. And so he's on a mission to tell everyone about Jesus, who saved his life for a reason. I believe that you have experienced miracles as well. I believe that God continually interacts with. And here's the question that we bump up against that is really difficult is, why doesn't everyone get healed? Why doesn't everyone who prays for healing get healed? Why even in Jesus' ministry, he didn't heal all the people. He didn't raise all the dead. I don't know the answer to that. I can tell you, based on what we know about God's nature and character through Scripture, that his goal is not to eliminate pain and suffering from human experience. That's not his goal. Pain and suffering are part of what it means to be human. In fact, Jesus, his own son, experienced pain and suffering and even death. So that's not God's goal. That's not God's ideal for us here while we're, you know, trapped in this physical, natural world. It's not to eliminate pain and suffering. But when he does show up, I believe it's intended to communicate to us that he is present, he is powerful, and he is merciful. And I think just like the people who heard these stories of Elisha, I mean, these Jewish boys and girls are growing up hearing stories about these prophets. For them, this was like their superheroes. I mean, I grew up with superheroes, the Transformers and G.I. Joe, and those were my heroes. And for them, their heroes were Elijah and Elisha. And they grew up hearing these stories, and it creates this longing for someone else to come along who can do the things that the prophets did. And so when we experience the miracles of God, I think we're supposed to have this anticipation, this longing for someone to come along who can fix all the things, who can heal all the people, who can raise all the dead. And God has promised that Jesus is returning. And this is the excitement that should be building in us every day longer that we live as we're getting closer to the new creation. Here's how Revelation describes what's going to happen when Jesus returns. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, he's present and he will dwell with them. They will be his people and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. For the old order of things has passed away. That day is coming. So just like we anticipate Christmas in this excitement for the birth of Jesus, this miracle of this baby who was born in Bethlehem, we are anticipating Jesus's return, because that's the moment when all the sicknesses will be healed, when all the dead will be raised. That's the moment when this box that divides the natural from the supernatural just disappears and it all becomes one. That's the moment when we get to celebrate that God is present and powerful and merciful every moment of every breath that we take. This morning, as we prepare to leave, I just want to invite you to think about miracles. We're gonna pray together, so would you go ahead and stand? If you believe that you have witnessed God breaking through into the physical world and doing something that cannot be explained by natural reasoning, then I want you to reflect on that, to remember that. Bring that back up in your mind and ask yourself, does this increase my confidence that God is present and powerful and merciful? And if you don't think that you've ever experienced a miracle, I invite you to open your eyes, to just anticipate it, to ask yourself, do I believe that God can actually do this? Is this something that's part of my faith? Is I believe God does miracles still today? And be watching. And I don't think it'll be long before you recognize God is at work all the time in the world. He's changing people's hearts in ways that are miraculous. He's restoring broken relationships in ways that are nothing short of miraculous. I believe true forgiveness is an absolute miracle when it happens. He's healing people in ways that are miraculous. He's protecting the church around the world in ways that are miraculous. And I think when we open our eyes, we'll see it. And I hope what it does for you is increases your confidence that God is here. Emmanuel, God with us. He's present. He's powerful. He's merciful. And Jesus is coming back to make all things new. Let's go with that prayer to God this morning. Father, thank you again for Jesus. Thank you for showing up in our world in ways that are unmistakably you. And my prayer is this morning that our eyes would be open to that. It would be ironic for us if we celebrate a virgin birth and then walk away not believing in miracles. So just open our eyes up to the reality of who you are and what you do in the world. And as our confidence in you grows, God, may we just shine brighter. May we be bolder. May we be joyful in the way that we move towards Jesus-centered living so that other people around us can see who you really are and will be drawn to your Son through us. Thank you for the birth of Jesus. We celebrate that today just in gratitude and awe. In his name we pray, amen. Thanks so much for being here. You're going to get some festive music on the way out, so tune in for that. God bless you. You are sent to be salt and light in the world that desperately needs Christ.